This week's Parsha is Parsha's Akev, and we'll start with the beginning of the Parsha, chapter 7, verse number 12. I will first read the whole Pasuk, and then we are going to analyze this Pasuk in greater detail. The Pasuk starts, V'hayo, it will be, Akev, as a reward, Tishmeun, that you'll hearken, Eis Amishpatim O'ele, all these ordinances, Ushmartem, and you'll safeguard them, V'asisem O'isam, and you will perform them. Then the Shomar Hashem Elokech Olecha, then Hashem will safeguard to you as a breeze the covenant, Vesacheset, and the kindness, Asher Nishbala Voisecho, that is swore to your forefathers. And the next Pasuk brings down all the blessings that we are going to get if we do what's written in the first Pasuk. The first word of the Parsha is Vehoya, and Vehoya is translated as it will be in the future. Even though the word Haya is it was in the past, but the Vav in the front of the Vehaya changes the meaning of the word from past tense to future tense. Normally, a future tense would be Ihiyeh, it will be. Then the question is, why doesn't the Torah write down Ve'ihiyeh, it will be, Ekev Tishmeun, as a reward that you will hearken Eisa Mishpatim Oela, these ordinances? Why does the Torah pick a word that is changed from the past tense to the future tense? What is the Torah trying to hint to us by picking this word? The next question that we are going to ask is that the Psikta Zutrasa writes on this Pasuk that Vehaya, it says, Ein Vehaya, that the word Vehaya doesn't mean Elo Loshen Simcha Bechol Mokoy, a language of happiness, of rejoicing, any time it's written. The question is, why is in fact the word Vehaya a Loshen Simcha, a language of rejoicing? The next word of the Pasuk is Ekev, and we translate it as a reward. But literally, the word Ekev means hill. As we see, it's written in Bereishis chapter 25, verse number 26, that when Yaakov was born, it's written there, Ve'yadoi oichezes ba'kav Esav, that his hand is holding on to the heels of Esav. Then literally, Ekev means hill. To write the word Ekev to mean because or as a reward for. Rashi is also bothered by this question, and Rashi says that ima mitzvahs kalois, if the light mitzvahs, the easy mitzvahs, she'odom dosh ba'kevav, that a person normally thrashes with his heel, tishmeun, you do, then Hashem will give you the rewards. Means Rashi is trying to say that if the light mitzvahs that a person normally tramps on, you will do, then Hashem will give you the reward for what you did. But still, we are going to have to understand what is meant by the word Ekev, hill. The Rachaim HaKodesh uses both Vehoya as rejoicing and Ekev as a hill, and he says that right now you're not going to rejoice, but in the hills of Mashiach, in the hills of time, then you'll perform all the mitzvahs, then it'll be a great rejoicing in front of Hashem. Vehoya, it will be a rejoicing, Ekev, at the time of the hills of Mashiach, Tishmeun, if you will hearken to the mitzvahs that Hashem gave you. The third word of the parasha is Tishmeun, that you will listen, that you will hearken. The question that we are going to ask is, why is it written Tishmeun with a nun at the end? Why isn't it written Tishmeu, that you will hearken? What is the point of writing the nun at the end? The Or HaChaim HaKodesh asks this question, and the Or HaChaim HaKodesh gives a beautiful answer. The Or HaChaim HaKodesh says that based on the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis 21b, where there the Gemara says, Chamish Mishar Evina, that 50 gates of wisdom, Nivru Bo'olam, were created in the world, V'kilom Nitnu LeMoshe, and all the gates of wisdom were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, Choser Achad, minus one, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu was only able to achieve the 49th gate of wisdom. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jewish people how they are able to achieve the 50th gate. And Moshe Rabbeinu says that if you are humble, if you have humility, then Tishmeu Nun, you are able to listen to the 50. It's written Tishmeun to hint to us that the only way that we are able to achieve the 50th gate of wisdom is if we are humble. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu, which the Torah describes as the most humble man in the world, he was so humble that he thought that the reason he didn't achieve the 50th gate of wisdom is because he didn't have humility. But he's telling us that if we are Akef, if we are feeling like a hill, we are humble, like the hill, which is the lowest part of the body, then Tishmo, you are able to hearken Nun, the 50th gate of wisdom. I wasn't able to get the 50th gate of wisdom, but if you are humble, you are able to get the 50th gate of wisdom. Then the pasuk continues that Eis Amishpatim Oela, that if I hearken to these ordinances, we know normally Mishpatim means mitzvahs that we understand the meaning, commandments that we could understand the reason behind it. We have a different type of commandment which is called Chukim, decrees, that we do not understand the reasons behind them. For example, the red heifer is a chag. And here the pasuk says that if you listen and hearken to the ordinances, then Hashem will give you the rewards. The only problem is that the last pasuk on Parshas Veschanon, one pasuk before this one, on pasuk number 11, there the pasuk says, "Veshomarta is a mitzvah, that you should keep the commandments, Vesachukim and the decrees, Vesamishpatim and the ordinances." That I command you today, lasoisam, to do. There we mention not only mishpatim, the ordinances, we also mention chukim, decrees. Then why all of a sudden the Torah here says that if you hearken only the mishpatim, then Hashem will give you the reward? What happened to the chukim? And another question that we are going to ask, that in our parsha seems that if you hearken and you perform the ordinances, then Hashem will give you the reward that He promised you, which is physical rewards. But there, on Pasuk number 11, in the end of the Pasuk that it says, Asher Anochi Metzavcha Hayom Lasoisom, that I command you today to do, Rashi brings the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Chav Beis Omed Aleph 22a, where the Gemara there says, Hayom Lasoisom, today you will do, Betulemachor, but tomorrow, meaning, Loilam Haba, meaning the world to come, little Scharam, you will get the reward. Meaning, that you will not get reward for the mitzvahs, for the good deeds that you will do in this world. You'll get the rewards only in the world to come. And that is exactly what the Gemara writes down in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Tes, Omed Beis 39b, that Rava says that Schar Mitzvah, that a reward for the mitzvahs, Bahai al-Malaka, you don't get in this world. You'll only get reward for the mitzvahs in the world to come. The problem with this interpretation of the Gemara, that this clearly contradicts what the pasuk here in Akev says, meaning, two psukim after this statement, that you don't get reward in this world, you'll only get reward in the world to come. The pasuk says, Bahayu Akev Tishmon, if you're going to hearken these ordinances, and you'll perform them. Then, in Pasuk number 13, the Torah promises you, Vahevcha, Hashem will love you, Verecha will bless you, Verbecha will multiply you, Uverech privitnecha, and He'll bless the fruit of your womb, Ufriad mascha, and the fruit of your ground, the ganecha, your wheat, Vesiroishcha, and your wine, Vitzorecha, and your oil, Shgara alofecha, the offsprings of your cattle, Vashterosenecha, and the flocks of your sheep, Asher nishba lav yisechol, the way He promised to your forefathers, losses lach, to give to you. These are clearly physical gifts, because it mentions your wheat, your oil, and your wine, and mentions the fruit of the ground, and your animals, and your flocks. Then obviously Hashem is promising us physical rewards if we do the mitzvahs, if we do the ordinances. Then how is it possible that two psukim previously, the Gemara interprets the psukim as saying that we make the mitzvahs today, but we only get the reward for the mitzvahs in the world to come? It's not like it's in two different complete sections. These are two psukim apart. The Torah just finished saying that you only do the mitzvahs today, ulemachar lekabel schar, that you're only going to get the reward in the world to come, and right afterwards, two psukim later, the pasuk already says that if you hearken the ordinances, then you will get the reward for them in this world. Then how is it possible that the Gemara should interpret the pasuk there saying that you're not going to get the reward in this world? We'll try to give different answers, and not all the answers will answer all the questions, but they'll answer some of the questions. The simple answer on this last question that we asked, how is it possible that the Torah writes down in pasuk number 11 that Hashem does not give reward in this world, and two psukim later on pasuk number 13 the Torah says that you are going to get rewards in this world? Could be that since the last week's parsha on pasuk number 11, the pasuk there it's dealing with an individual, because it's written v'shomarto as a mitzvah, that it should safeguard the mitzvah. It's not talking about the plural of shmartem. It's written v'shomarto, that you will safeguard. When the Torah is dealing with an individual, when an individual does a mitzvah, Hashem does not give him the reward in this world. Hashem will give him the reward in the world to come. But now, week's parsha is written v'hoyo eikev tishmeun. It will be when you will hearken, that is in the plural. And shmartem vasisem oisam, and then you will safeguard and do them. When we are talking about the plural, then Hashem will give to each individual a reward because they are keeping mitzvahs in the plural. When an individual keeps mitzvah by himself, then Hashem does not give him the reward in this world, and Hashem waits to give the reward for that mitzvah in the world to come. But when a public keeps mitzvahs, then Hashem values so much that Hashem is willing to give reward to each individual in this world. Sefer Shemeroish gives a different answer on this question, and he wants to give this answer based on Sefer Koimetz HaMincha on Parshas Pinchas, where the Koimetz HaMincha asks what is written in the Medrash, meaning that the pasuk writes down by Midbar chapter 25, verse number 12, Lachain, therefore, Emoir tell Pinchas, Hineni noisen lo yagiv to him, as bris yisholoi my covenant of peace. The Medrash says that bedinhu sheyitol schoroi, that it is within the right of Pinchas to get his reward. And all the Mefarshim asks a question, how does Pinchas have the right to get reward in this world, when the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lamedtes, Omed Beis, 39b says that Tzchar Mitzvah, Bahai Al-Malekid Hashem does not give reward for mitzvahs in this world. There is a question on the concept of Tzchar Mitzvah, Bahai Al-Malekid Hashem does not give rewards for mitzvahs in this world. We know that Hashem keeps the Torah, because it's written, Chukov U'Mishpotav L'Yisrael, Hashem gave His decrees and His ordinances to the Jewish people. From here, Mefarshim learn that Hashem also keeps the Torah. The question is, then, if Hashem keeps the Torah, how is it possible that Hashem should not pay the reward for mitzvahs in this world? Since in Parshas Kedoshim, chapter 19, verse number 13, it's written there, Loisolin pulas sachir itcho ad boiker, that you should not hold back the salary of your worker until morning, meaning that if you have a worker that works with you by the day, then you have all night to pay him. But if you delay till the next morning, then you transgress the prohibition of Loi Solin, that you should not overnight his salary. And in the same way, that if you have a worker that works for you, for example, you have a mechanic that is fixing your car, then as soon as the mechanic finishes repairing your car, you are required to pay him for his work. And if you do not pay him for his work promptly, then you transgress the prohibition of Loi Solin, that you are not allowed to overnight his salary. If that is so, and Hashem keeps the Torah, then Mefarshim ask, how is it possible that Hashem should not pay us the reward for mitzvahs in this world? As soon as we finish making a mitzvah, Hashem should give us the reward in this world, because otherwise Hashem transgresses the prohibition of loisolin, that should not overnight payment. Meforshim answer by giving the same example of the car mechanic, meaning that let's say you have the car mechanic and he didn't finish the job yet, then you are not required to pay him yet. You are only required to pay him after he finishes the job. And the Gemara actually in Baba Metzia, Daf Samach Hey Omed Aleph says, 65a, Schirois Eino Mishtolemes El Besof, that rentals and wages for somebody who does a job like that is only payable after he finishes. That means that before he finishes the job, you are not required to pay. Therefore, since we came to this world to do mitzvahs until the day we die, that means that while we are living, we are still in the middle of the work. We didn't finish the work. True, after we finish the work, then Hashem is required to give us the wages. But after we finish the work, which means after we die, then we'll be in the world to come. Then Hashem will give us the wages in the world to come. Again, while we are alive, we are still in mid-job. We didn't finish the job. True that we made a mitzvah, but that is not considered finishing the job. Finishing the job means that your whole lifetime you serve Hashem, and then you finish your job when you die. But by then, Hashem cannot give you the reward in this world. Hashem could only give you the reward in the world to come. But if you just make one mitzvah, it's considered like the mechanic did half a job. True, he did something positive, but he didn't finish the job. Therefore, Hashem is not required to give us the wages until after we die, because of the rule that schirois, that wages, eino mishtalemes el besav, are only payable at the end. According to this, the Koimetz HaMincha answers, we could understand why Pinchas deserves his reward in this world. Because let's say somebody has an open-ended contract, that the contract never expires, then it's only fair that he should get intermittently certain rewards, because you cannot wait till the end, because that contract will never end. And since the Gemara writes down in Baba Metzia, Daf Kof Yudalad Amud Beis 114b, that Pinchas Ze Eliyahu, that Pinchas became Eliyahu Hanavi. We know Eliyahu Hanavi never died, he went up in a chariot of fire. That means that there is never going to be an end for the service of Eliyahu Hanavi. Therefore, in the case of Pinchas, which is Eliyahu Hanavi, Hashem has no choice, and Hashem is required to pay him reward for whatever he does. Because you can't wait till the end, since there isn't going to be an end. Therefore, Hashem is allowed to give the reward for mitzvahs in this world. And that is why the Koimetz HaMincha says that the Medrash says, Bedinhu, that Pinchas is within his right, Sheyitel Schori, that he should get his reward. According to this idea, Sefer Shemen Roish wants to say that this is the same idea that applies now here. Meaning that a person could make it that his service to Hashem should never end. How can a person make that his service to Hashem should never end? Because if a person teaches his children Torah, then every time his children learn something or do a mitzvah because of his teaching, this person also gets reward. And not necessarily only your children, but any time you teach somebody else some mitzvah and that person does the mitzvah, or even if that person teaches other people the mitzvah, then you get reward because you are the one who taught him this mitzvah. You get residual rewards every time somebody will perform that mitzvah. Or if you are Makarev somebody, you bring somebody closer to Judaism, then every time the persons that you brought close does a mitzvah, you'll get reward for it. And every time his future generations will do mitzvahs, you will get reward for that. And the same applies if you support a rabbi or you support a yeshiva. Because without your support, the rabbi wouldn't be able to learn so much Torah. He wouldn't be able to teach others Torah. And without your support for the yeshiva, the bochrim, the boys in that yeshiva, would not be able to learn. Therefore, you get a portion on every mitzvah that this rabbi or this yeshiva does. Then it's possible that even after your death, you'll still get reward for mitzvahs, because the people who will be doing mitzvahs after you died would not have done those mitzvahs unless you taught them or you supported them. Then you get reward for the mitzvahs that those people do, up to infinity. Therefore, it's written in Zechariah chapter 3, verse number 7, Penosati lechom halchim, that I'll make sure that you are walking, bein hoim di moela, between those who are here standing. And those standing are referring to angels, because the angels have no chance to go up to a higher level. They achieve a level, and that is the level that they stay in perpetuity. But we have a chance to always be walking from one level to another level. Because, as we said, if a person in the future perform a mitzvah that you taught the person's great-great-grandfather, then you will still get reward for that mitzvah, because without you teaching the great-great-great-grandfather, this person probably would not do this mitzvah. Therefore, you continue going up from madrega to madrega, from level to level. Then it's possible for you to have the same level as Pinchas, which is a level of infinite, by you teaching others. That if you teach others, then you will reach the level of infinite. You reach the level that your salary will not end ever, because you are constantly performing the mitzvahs. Then Hashem will have no choice, and Hashem will have to give you the reward in this world. Because if you start teaching others, then the others start performing mitzvahs. If the others start performing mitzvahs, then automatically it is going to be to infinite. And if it's to infinite, then Hashem is required to give you the wages in this world. The only reason that Hashem doesn't give you the wages in this world is because there is a time limit. Your life is a time limit for you to perform the mitzvahs. And then, after you finish your time limit, then Hashem is required to pay you for the mitzvahs that you did. But if you make mitzvahs that are infinite, then Hashem has no choice. Hashem is required to give you the reward as soon as you perform the mitzvahs. According to this, Sefer Shemirosh explains that this is the difference between Pasuk number 11 and Pasuk number 13. Because in Pasuk number 11 it's written, V'shomarto es ha-mitzvah, that you are going to keep the mitzvah, V'sachukim v'samishpotim. It's speaking about you yourself. You yourself, that means that you haven't taught anybody. You are an individual who just learned Torah by yourself and performed mitzvahs by yourself. But you did not go ahead and try to influence others. Then it's true, Asher Noichi Metzavcho Hayom, that you are commanded to do the mitzvahs today, and since you didn't teach others, then Lemachor, Shloelam Haba, Lekabel Schar, you are going to get your reward. You are not going to get reward in this world, because since you finish your job only after your death, and after your death your job will be completely finished, then you'll only get reward after you finish your job, which is in the world to come. But in Pasuk number 12, we are talking about where you are teaching others Torah, or you are teaching your children Torah. And the Gemara in Erevin Dav Ayin Amud Beis 70b says that Yoiresh, that somebody who inherits, meaning a son, Kare Davia, is considered the leg of his father, meaning that he's a part of his father. Therefore, says Sefer Shemeroish, that here is written, Ekev Tishmon, that if your heel is going to hear, meaning your heel, which is your children that come after you, and they are a part of you because they are part of your leg, then if they will hearken, and Ushmartem Vasisem Oysam, and they will safeguard, and they will perform them, meaning that your children will continue to perform, not necessarily your children, but anybody you taught will come and perform the mitzvahs, then automatically those mitzvahs will go into infinite, because every time they will do a mitzvah, you'll get reward for them. Then, one, it's in infinite, then Hashem is required to give you the reward in this world. Because since there it's already written the plural, that means that you taught other people to do mitzvahs. Once you teach other people to do mitzvahs, it's impossible that they didn't teach others to do mitzvahs. Once that happens, then you will get to the infinite. Once you get to the infinite, then Hashem cannot wait till you finish your life or till you finish your wages to give you the reward, because your wages keep on going, because since people keep doing mitzvahs and you always get residuals, then it keeps on going. In that case, Hashem has no choice. Hashem has to give you a reward in this world. That's why in Pasuk number 13 says that Hashem will give you the reward for those mitzvahs in this world. Sefer Shemeresh brings a completely new answer, and his answer is going to be based on a Kol Arya, which according to the Kol Arya, we could understand what is written in Yeshaya, chapter 1, verse number 19. In chapter 1, verse number 18, we have the famous Pasuk, that the Pasuk says, Lechuna v'nivachacha yomer Hashem, please let us go and reason, says Hashem, imiyu chatoechem kashonim, that if your sins will be like scarlet, kashelek yalbinu, they'll become white as snow, im yadimu katoila, that if they are going to be as red as crimson, katzemeriu, they'll become like white wool. And then the next pasuk, which is pasuk number 19, says, im toivu ishmatem, that if you become good and you listen, then tuv oretz tochelu, that the goodness of the land you are going to eat, meaning that the pasuk is saying that if you repent, then your red sins are going to become white, and if you listen to Hashem, then you are going to be able to eat the goodness of the earth, which means that we are going to eat tuv haaretz, the goodness of the earth, which is physical goodness. The Kol Arya asks a question, how can we have physical goodness when we have the rule that Tzchar Mitzvah Behai Al-Malekah, that Hashem does not give reward for mitzvahs in this world? Then how can Hashem promise that if we listen to Him, He'll give us the goodness of the earth? Goodness of the earth, clearly, you could only get in this world. And Tzchar Mitzvah, reward for mitzvahs, Hashem doesn't pay in this world. The Kol Arya answers based on the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Pei Vav 86. There the Gemara says in the name of Rish Lakish that Gedoyle Tshuva Meira, that Tshuva Meira is so great, Shezedoynos Naselo Kishgogos, that if you do a sin on purpose and then you repent because you fear Hashem, your fear of punishment, then Hashem makes it that your purposeful sins are considered happenstance mistakes. But Gedoyle Tshuva Mahave, if you do tshuva out of love, then zedoino is nasa lekezachis. Then whatever you did on purpose, meaning all the sins you did on purpose, become merit. They turn out to become great mitzvahs. According to this, says Sefer Kol Arya, that when do we make the rule that schar mitzvah behal malekah, that Hashem doesn't pay for mitzvahs in this world, these are mitzvahs written in the Torah. Those mitzvahs that are written in the Torah, Hashem doesn't give you reward in this world because Hashem expects you to do them. But when you do tshuva mehava, tshuva out of love, and you make from your sins mitzvahs, those mitzvahs aren't written in the Torah. And for those mitzvahs, Hashem gives reward in this world. The mitzvahs that are written in the Torah, they have a reward system in heaven. Hashem does not give these rewards in this world. But when you repent, and repent out of love, then you transform those sins into mitzvahs. Those mitzvahs that were transformed from sins, those aren't written in the Torah. For those, Hashem gives reward in this world. And that is why Sefer Kol Arya says that this pasuk is written right after pasuk number 18, where Hashem is reasoning with us and is asking us to repent. So Hashem says, "Im toivu ishmatem," that if you become good and you listen, meaning that you do tshuva mehava, you do tshuva of love, then tuva ares toichelu, you'll get to eat the goodness of the earth. Then Sefer Shemeresh brings the Gemara in Brachas Dav Dalet Omed Beis 4b, where the Gemara there is analyzing why we say Ashrei every day, Ashrei is chapter 145 on Psalms, and there the Gemara says, Omar Rabbi Yochanan says, Mipnei Maloi Nemar Nun Be'Ashrei, why isn't there a Nun in Ashrei? In chapter 145, we have the Aleph base, meaning that each verse starts with a letter of the alphabet, and they go in sequence, but between the Mem and the Samach, it's missing the Nun. Why isn't there a Nun, meaning a verse corresponding to the letter Nun, in Ashrei? Be'echan answers, Mipnei she'yesh bo mapolosom shelson Yisrael, because that would allude to the fall of the Jewish people. Dichsiv, because there's a verse in Amos chapter 5, verse number 2, that says, Noflo lo soysif kum besulos Yisrael, that she has fallen and she will no longer rise, the maiden of Israel. Meaning that there the pasuk predicts that Israel is going to fall and no longer rise. David HaMelech did not want to say something bad about Israel. Therefore, David HaMelech chose to omit a Nun, which could allude to something bad to Israel, and preferred to skip it. The Gemara continues and says, Bemarov in Eretz Israel, Metar Tzila'achad used to interpret the pasuk differently. They used to interpret the pasuk by putting a comma in the middle, meaning they used to say, Naflo v'loy soysif limpol oid, that you have fallen and you are no longer going to fall, kum besulas Israel, rise, O Virgin of Israel. Meaning that normally the translation of the pasuk is Naflo v'loy soysif kum, that you have fallen and you are no longer going to get up. So they used to put a comma after the word toysif. Naflo v'loy toysif, fallen, you are not going to fall more. Kum, arise, Besulas Israel, Virgin of Israel. The Gemara continues, Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, Afilioche, even though David HaMelech didn't want to put the Nun because it alludes to the fall of Israel, Chozar David Besamcha Baruch HaKodesh. David went ahead and he supported the Jewish people in Ruach HaKodesh. Shanema, because right afterwards, the Samach of the Melech used to write down Soymech Hashem Lechol Noifim, that Hashem gives support to all the fallen ones. Meaning, since David HaMelech didn't want to write the Nun because the Nun signifies somebody who has fallen, therefore David HaMelech right afterwards decided to put the Samach, which is Soymech Hashem, that Hashem gives support to all those who have fallen. That even though you have fallen, nonetheless, Hashem will eventually give you support. According to this idea, Sefer Shemer Rosh says, now we could understand the differences between the two psukim, what is written in pasuk number 11 and what is written in pasuk number 13. Meaning that on pasuk number 11, the pasuk is giving you advice how a person should always behave. A person should always, the shomartas ha-mitzvah, they should always keep the mitzvahs ha-chukim, the decrees, v'samishpatim, and the ordinances, asher anochi metzavcho hayom la'asoysam, that I command you today to do. Basically, you're supposed to do the mitzvahs today. And don't worry about the reward will eventually come in the world to come. But you are supposed to do the mitzvahs today. But what happens if you didn't do the mitzvahs today? You realize that you messed up, and you didn't perform the mitzvahs the way it's supposed to be, then you should repent. And if you repent, then Hashem will give you the reward in this world. And that's what's written, V'hoyo, it will be, meaning, Hoyo is a past, that the past is bad, because you just sinned. But V'hoyo, if you change the past, and you make a future, meaning that you are going to hearken in the future, you decide to transform your past by the Vav, and you decide to make a commitment that now you are going to hearken the words of Hashem, then it will be a great simcha, a great happiness in heaven, because you change your past and you decided to make from your past your future, that you are going to transform those sins that you made, and you are going to eventually make from those sins mitzvahs. And that's why V'hoyo is a lashon simcha, is a language of happiness. And that's why it's not written Ve'yihya, it will be, because we want you to transform the sins that you did, and we want you to make from them merits. by you doing tshuva mahava, tshuva out of love. And that's why it's written Akev at the end, meaning in the beginning you didn't listen, but Akev, which is the heel, the end, tishmaun, you are going to listen. And also, when you are looking at Akev at the end, you should look at Akev tishmaun nun. Then you listen to the letter nun. The letter nun that signifies nofel, that you fell, you'll see what is written Akev after the nun. After the nun is the letter samach, meaning that after the letter that signifies you'll fall, you'll see that it's the samach which signifies soimach Hashem lecha noiflim, that Hashem gives support to all those who have fallen, because you realize that Hashem will give you support even though you have fallen, that will prompt you to do tshuva, will prompt you to repent, and if you repent, then v'hoyo, it will be a great simcha for Hashem. Meaning that once you start changing your past and decide to make your future, and you see what is happening if you continue in this path, that you are going to fall to the noon, and then you realize what is going to happen if you continue, then you look past the noon, you look Akev Tishme'u noon, you look past the noon, and past the noon you have the letter Samach. And the letter Samach signifies that Hashem is going to support you even though you have sinned up till now. But now you are changing and you are doing tshuva out of love. Then it will be a great simcha. Then it will be v'hoyo. It will be a great simcha, a great rejoicing in front of Hashem. And that's why it's not written v'iya. It will be because we don't want you just to make new good deeds. We want you to transform the old one for the good one. Meaning the hoyo, we want you to transform to the future that's going to be v'hoyo, that will be good in the future, and that will only happen if you look past the noon, you take a look that even though you have fallen, Hashem still will give you support, they'll give you encouragement to do tshuva, to repent. Once you do tshuva, mahava, tshuva out of love, as we mentioned earlier, you'll be able to make a mitzvah that wasn't written in the books, because you transform your sin to a mitzvah, and sins to become a mitzvah that is not written in the Torah. And if something is not written in the Torah, as we mentioned earlier, Hashem then has to give you the reward in this world, because Hashem gives reward for new mitzvahs that weren't around in this world. And since you're able to transform your sins for a mitzvah, then Hashem will give you the reward for those mitzvahs in this world. According to this, says Sefer Shemeroj, we see that the letter Samach, the letter that Hashem gives us support, is a letter that gives us Simcha, that gives us rejoicing. And that fits very well with what the Bnei Saschor in Chodesh of Mamar Dalet Oysalev says regarding the Gemara in Tainus Daf Chavav Omed Beis 26b. There the Gemara says, Lo'ahoy Yomim Tev Le'Yisrael, there wasn't such great days for the Jewish people, Ketez Vav Be'av, like the 15th of Av, Uchayom HaKippurim, and like Yom Kippur. Meaning that the Gemara is saying that the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur are very good days for the Jewish people. And furthermore, the Gemara says in Daf Lamed Aleph, Omed Aleph 31a, and that's how the Gemara finishes the Masechta, the volume, the Gemara there says, Omar Ula Bira, Omar Abelazar, Ula Bira says in Nevra Belazar, Asi da Kodesh Baruch Lasos Machoy La Tzadikim, that Hashem in the future will make a circle to the righteous people, Ve Yoishev Beineyem Began Eden, and he sits amongst them in the Gan Eden, Ve Cholechot Ve Echot Mare Betz Boy, and everybody is showing with his fingers, Shenemar, because it's written, Ve Omar Bayom Ahu, it will be in that day, Hine Elokeinu Zeh, that this is our Hashem, meaning we are going to point to Hashem. Kivinu loy v'yoshenu, we hoped for him and he saved us. Ze Hashem kivinu loy, this is Hashem that we hope for him. Nagila v'nismecha b'shiosoy, let us exult and be glad by his salvation. And the Bnei Saschor brings down from the Apterov, that the Apterov says that the connection to this idea of the 15th of Av is because 15th of Av doesn't mean 15th of the month of Av, means the 15th letter of the Aleph Beis. The 15th letter of the Aleph Beis is the letter Samach, and what it meant to say, that Hashem is going to make a circle to the Tzaddikim. The simple interpretation is that since the Samach is round like a circle, so therefore the 15th of Av and the circle, they both seem to fit together. But now, according to what we just mentioned, we could understand why specifically the letter Samach. Because since the letter Samach signifies Soimech Hashem Lachol Noiflim, that Hashem will support those who have fallen, meaning it signifies that you are going to do tshuva, and therefore specifically on Yom HaKippurim and Tu Be'av, which signifies the letter Samach, which signifies that Jewish people are going to do tshuva, specifically was good days, because those are the days that we could change those sins that we did to merits, because if we do tshuva out of love, then we change to merits. And if we change to merits, then Hashem is required to give us the reward in this world. That is what the letter Samach and the 15th of Av and Yom Kippurim have in common. Because on the 15th of Av is a day that we are required to do tshuva. Because since we know the time to do tshuva is the month of Elul, and according to the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel in Psachim Davov 6, 2 weeks before an occasion, we are already supposed to dwell on the laws for that occasion. And since the 15th of Av is 2 weeks before Rosh Chodesh Elul, and Rosh Chodesh Elul is the month of Tshuva, that means that from the 15th of Av, we already have to start doing Tshuva. Therefore, the 15th of Av is also a time to do Tshuva. Therefore, the 15th of Av is connected to the letter Samach, which signifies Tshuva, and also to Yom HaKippurim, Yom Kippur, which is the main day for us to do tshuva, to repent. And according to this, it fits very well what the Haggai's Yavetz writes down regarding the Mochel, regarding the circle that Hashem is going to do. Because the Haggai's Yavetz makes a point that Mochel, circle, is the letters Mochel, forgiveness, that Hashem is going to forgive us. In what merit Hashem is going to forgive us? The answer is because Hashem is making the circle to hint to us that He is forgiving us in the merit of the Samach, in the merit that we did Soimach Hashem Lechol Anoifim, that Hashem supports all those who have fallen, which means that we repented. Since we repented out of love, then Hashem will forgive us. And if Hashem forgives us, He'll make a circle where He will be in the middle and we'll all rejoice in His presence. And Hashem Yisbaruch should help that we should see this circle soon in our days. We should merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mheira, b'yomeinu, Amen.